Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's lovely to be with you this morning, albeit virtually. But it's lovely to see some familiar faces. And also, I look at the list of participants. I see a few names I don't recognise. So it's nice to meet you and nice to share fellowship with you this morning. And Sister Gemma sends her love. She's in the next room. We decided with the children it would be easier for her to join Grosvenor Road and keep them out of my way while I speak to you this morning. So you might hear later, I'm not sure. But for exhortation this morning, brothers and sisters, as we prepare to share the emblems again, I'd like us to turn to the book of Revelation, which we've been reading for the last few days, and we read again this morning just now. And we read, didn't we, just now, chapters 15 and 16. And of course, the book of Revelation is often referred to from the platform as a book of sign and symbol. You'll hear brethren say those words time and time again. And of course, that's true, it is. But actually, also, I find it's a very exhortational book, and hence the reason the decision I took to look at it this morning. Because it is heavily focused, isn't it, brothers and sisters, on the time of the end, the time of the Lord Jesus Christ's return. And Brother Dave, in his prayer, referred to that, didn't he? The fact that God this week didn't send him back, but we plead for him to send him soon. And of course, that is our earnest prayer and hope, isn't it? And so as we look at this book, I think it's very relevant for us today. And we know, don't we, that it's a book of sevens. I'm sure you've seen before. There's seven letters to the ecclesias. There's seven seals. There's seven trumpets, seven vials, seven thunders. And actually, there's also another seven, which is what I'd like to look at this morning, and that's the fact that there are seven blessings referred to in this book. And I think that's where the exhortation comes in for us. We can be supremely blessed and consider ourselves extremely fortunate and happy, as the word is often translated, that we have in front of us this book, this word of life. But in the world around us that's just full of chaos, confusion, unhappiness, wickedness, worry, we, brothers and sisters, can be separate from that and be supremely blessed by our Almighty Father in heaven. And as I say, that word blessed, it can also be translated as happy. The word that we find in Revelation seven times is used is a Greek word that's translated more often than not as blessed, but it is also translated as happy. And it's the same in the Old Testament. You may think of examples like in the Psalms, where the same word in the Hebrew in Psalm 1 is translated as blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not, etc. And the same word in Psalm 144 is translated as happy. Happy is the people whose God is Yahweh. Same word in Hebrew used each time. And it's the same here in the book of Revelation. So we get this idea of being supremely fortunate, to be well off, to be happy, if we are found reading this book and doing our best to live by it. And so let's just come back to chapter 1 of Revelation, which is where we have the first example of this blessing, this word blessed. And we'll look at each of the seven occurrences. And of course, in 20 minutes or so, we're not going to go into massive depths of detail. You can do that in your own time, and maybe this will whet your appetite to do it. But I want to just try and exhort ourselves as we share these emblems together and get some encouragement, really, from these words. So the first occurrence of the word blessed, and we won't look at them in order, by the way. I'll show you all seven, but we're not going to turn to them in the order they appear. But the first one we will, which is in chapter 1 and verse 3. And we'll read that verse. It says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." So right at the very outset of this amazing book, the Lord Jesus Christ tells John there's a blessing or happy is the person that reads this book. And so we shouldn't we, brothers and sisters, find the time to read this book. We're blessed to have a plan of daily readings that's been set up for us that we can follow. And we can try and do more than that, can't we, as we get to know and wonder at the beauty of this word of God. And so that's the first question perhaps for ourselves, isn't it? How often do we read this book? Is it just something we do as a last minute thought before we go to bed? Or is it something that we try and fit into our daily lives as a priority, that we have it at the forefront of our weekly activities? It's a challenge sometimes, isn't it, in our busy lives, that we find the time and make the time to read this book. And that word read actually is more than just the casual reading. It's not just a flicking the page and skim read. It means to gain a knowledge of, or to discern, or to know. So it takes time. It's not it's not something that we do casually or when we have a spare minute. It's something that we have to take time over and dedicate ourselves to, that we gain the knowledge of this book, that we discern it and we understand it. And just keep a finger in Revelation, or put a marker in, I'm sure you probably already got one actually in Revelation from the readings, but come back to the book of Psalms, brothers and sisters, and Psalm 119, because this psalm is all about the word of God, isn't it? Every verse in Psalm 119 refers to his statutes or his commandments or his precepts or his word. And we see in Psalm 119, and we'll look at verse 97. Here is the reaction of the psalmist, how positive he is. He says, "Oh, how love I thy law, thy word. It is my meditation all the day. Though thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." So I think those four verses sum up really what the word to read, the word means in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. This is how the psalmist was so into the word of God. It was his daily study. He had more understanding of it than his teachers. He understood more than the ancients. And as a result of that, he was wiser than his enemies. And that's, I think, really the connotation, the understanding we have of this word read in Revelation 1. Blessed are we, brothers and sisters, if we read and take on board and understand the things contained in this wonderful book. We continue in chapter 1 of Revelation. Because it doesn't stop there, does it? I don't know if you saw that as I was reading it just now. There's a progression in what we have here in this blessing. So we first we read it, but then we have to hear the words of the prophecy. How much opportunity, brothers and sisters, do we give ourselves to hear the word of God being expounded? And I think one thing this lockdown has shown me, and perhaps you found the same, is there seems to be more opportunity than ever to join online and hear the word of God being studied, or to watch on YouTube brothers giving exposition of the word of God. One good thing I think that has come out of this, for me at least, the word of God seems to be more available than ever without even leaving your armchair. And then, so let's try and let ourselves hear and take in this word of God. And again, that word there, hear, isn't just a passive word. When you look it up in the Greek, it means to consider what has been said, or to understand, or to perceive. And just as we saw there in the Psalm, Psalm 119, it's not a casual listening, like you might just have music on in the background as you're driving to work. This is a deeper meaning than that, to hear, to understand, to perceive, to gain knowledge is the inference of this word. And then lastly, as I say, there's this threefold progression. We read, we hear, and then we keep these things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And that word there, keep, we saw already, didn't we, in the Psalm 119, means to preserve, also to hold fast. And we see the same word is used. Actually, just turn over the page into the letter to the Ecclesia at Sardis, chapter chapter 3 and verse 3, as he's writing to that ecclesia, he says, "Remember how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast." Same word that we see here in Revelation 1, to keep, to hold fast. And again, the context of the Lord's return, isn't it? That he says that he'll come as a thief there in chapter 3, verse 3, to those who aren't ready and aren't watching. And so in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "The time is at hand." And what a wonderful hope we have, brothers and sisters, that that is surely going to happen in our lifetime. The return of our Lord Jesus Christ must be so close. The time must be at hand. And so then, how much more relevant these words are to us? I don't know if we think about that often enough, the fact that these words apply to us perhaps more than any generation, that we are found to be reading and hearing and keeping these words, that when Christ returns, he doesn't come to us as a thief in the night. And so turn to the reading we took today, brothers and sisters, to Revelation 16, where we have the next blessing. And again, we see it's associated with the return of Christ Jesus. We're here in the time of the vials being poured out, these great judgments of God upon the earth in history. But again, the exhortation for us, brothers and sisters, is that there is a blessing. Verse 15, he says again, "I come as a thief," just like he did to the ecclesia in Sardis. "I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And that word there, keep, keeping of our garments, it's the same word that we saw in chapter 1, to preserve, to hold fast, the same word that was used in chapter 3 in the letter to Sardis. And we know, don't we, that we need to be found then watching and keeping our garments, or else what's the risk? The risk is that we walk naked and we're ashamed. And we know, don't we, that throughout Scripture, we go back to the Garden of Eden, nakedness is associated with sinfulness, isn't it, and shame that that brings. And so in the context of Armageddon here in Revelation 16, we're exhorted to be found watching. And I think when we think of watching, of course, we rightly talk about watching the signs of the times. It's very, very important and also encouraging when we see them coming to pass before our eyes. But I think also the watching has to be a bit more internal as well, doesn't it? It needs that we need to be watching what we're doing, watching how we're behaving, watching how we're living our lives and caring for one another, that we are keeping our garments and holding fast to the word of God, that we're not found naked. And just turn to reference to this one. Just come back to the writings of Paul, please. Come to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, because Paul really picks up on this and exhorts us more powerfully than I ever could on what this means. And so let's read a few verses of his in 2 Corinthians 5. And just before we read the verses, we see the context in verse 10 that he as well is thinking about the return of Christ here when he's writing. He says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And so in verse 1, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight." And so again, we have this exhortation, this concept of us being clothed through the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are found watching and ready and waiting, and again, blessed when he returns, if he comes upon us, and not as a thief, but as our bridegroom. And in the context still then of this word keeping and keeping our garments, holding fast, come to Revelation 22 now, please. The last chapter in this wonderful book, last chapter in the Bible even. And here then, this is what we find, the word blessed used again in this same connotation that we're ready and watching for Christ's return and also to be keeping. So we saw that we had to read and hear the word and to keep its commandments. And then we saw that we need to be keeping our garments and holding fast to them. And so when we come to chapter 22, his final message to us, verse 7, he says again about his return, "Behold, I come quickly." And he says that again, doesn't he, in verse 12 and verse 20. "Surely I come quickly." Three times in a few verses there, this reference to Christ's return. May we be ready for him. He says, verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." There's the blessing again, brothers and sisters. That's the sixth blessing in the book of Revelation. And we see the seventh in verse 14. We see it's so related because in verse 7 he said, "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Verse 14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and that they may enter in through the gates of his city." So here then we see a development, don't we? We saw in chapter 1 and verse 3, there was a threefold progression in the life of a disciple, didn't we? That firstly, we were to read and then we had to hear and understand, and then we had to keep and hold fast. Well, now, brothers and sisters, at the end of the book here, we have a fourth strand to our life in Christ, that having done those first three, we are to be blessed if we do his commandments. It's a small word, isn't it, brothers and sisters, do? But it means and matters so much to us, doesn't it, brothers and sisters, that we are doers of the word of God, that we are doers of these commandments. And if we are, then, brothers and sisters, happy, aren't we? Are we? We are blessed that we are found to be doing his commandments. You see, there's a stark contrast put before us in verses 14 and 15. There's two choices in life, aren't there, brothers and sisters, that we are either in the city that we may enter in, or we are out, we are without. Without, verse 15, are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And that's a one-verse description of the world around us, isn't it, brothers and sisters? And so may it be that we are inside, that we have made the right choice in our life, that we have shunned those who are without, and that we are to be blessed and found ready and obedient to enter in to the gates of that wonderful city, that new Jerusalem that God is preparing for those that love him. Let's just turn in this context to one other reference in Psalms. Keep your marker in Revelation again. Come to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. Because we see here that the psalmist could look forward to the same time that Jesus is talking about here in Revelation, in his vision and his message to John. Psalm 48. He says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised," verse 1, Psalm 48, "in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge." And so, brothers and sisters, that's the wonderful hope we have, isn't it? That God is our refuge. Without our whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. But in this city that we look forward to, we have our refuge prepared by the Lord God Almighty, our Father. And we think about his Son this morning, don't we, who has made all these things possible for us, the wonderful blessing that we have, the wonderful hope that we have if we let God guide us, that we can attain life eternal in and refuge in that kingdom to come. Two of the next two blessings, brothers and sisters, are very closely linked. They're actually the second and the fifth as they occur in the book of Revelation. So let's just look at chapter 14 of Revelation, and verse 13. We'll read verse 12 first. It says, "Here is the patience of the saints." And interestingly, that's another interesting aspect of the book of Revelation you might want to look at, that word patience. It's another word that occurs seven times throughout the book of Revelation. This is the last occurrence of it here in verse 12. "The patience of the saints, here are they that keep his commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works do follow them." And first, brothers and sisters, we might think that's a strange comment. Blessed are the dead. But we think of chapters such as Romans 6, don't we, where we know that as many of us as are baptised into Christ, we're baptised into his death. That the life of a disciple begins at baptism in Christ, and it's a life of service in Christ, isn't it? And of course, we know from Christ's teaching that the life of a believer finishes when he dies, but it is but a sleep, isn't it? Until they are to be raised again, raised to judgment and hopefully to a newness of life. And this is the great blessing then that's spoken of here in this chapter, isn't it, brothers and sisters? We don't sorrow as those which have no hope when one of our number dies or falls upon sleep. For we know, don't we, that Christ will bring them back when he returns and raise them to life evermore. And I said these two blessings are linked. This is the first of them. Let's just turn to chapter 20 and verse 6. Chapter 20 and verse 6, because you see then how this blessing is achieved and kind of expounds a bit upon chapter 14. Because chapter 20 and verse 6, here we have, "Blessed and holy is he that hath a part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So here then, from this verse, we can perhaps understand that first one a little bit better. We can understand the precious blessing and hope that's ours and of all believers throughout history, from right back to faithful men such as Abraham, David. They could look forward and know that they would live and reign with their great Messiah Christ as we can when we are raised from the dead at his return, if we've fallen upon sleep before he comes back. What a wonderful hope that is for us. What a wonderful blessing, brothers and sisters. And so if we were to go to 1 Corinthians, we won't now, but 1 Corinthians 15 really expands on this for us. That everything that's been made possible through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, who we remember this morning in bread and wine. Victory is ours through Christ Jesus. And so let's just look at the last of the blessings, which is found in chapter 19. Chapter 19 and verse 7. Here we have a wonderful vision of what's to come for us, brothers and sisters. He says, right, chapter 9 of 19. "Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these things are the true sayings of God." The true sayings of God, brothers and sisters, that we are blessed to be able to be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The bride that has made herself ready before the blessing is given, isn't it? This bride we see that we read about earlier in chapter 19, arrayed in fine linen and white. The fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So there's the exhortation for us, brothers and sisters, that we spend the time now to make ourselves ready that we're clothing ourselves with those garments and putting on that righteousness, that when he returns back to this earth, our Lord Jesus may look upon us and see in us a bride ready and not defiled by the immorality and the wickedness in the world around us. Paul picks up on that, doesn't he, in 2 Corinthians, and talks about us being a chaste virgin, someone who has kept themselves separate from all the immorality and the sin and the wickedness in the world around them. And so, brothers and sisters, we come now to partake of the bread and the wine that we have before us, the symbols of our Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice, his body given and his blood outpoured for each one of us. And may it be, brothers and sisters, this morning and the week that lies ahead, that we can remove ourselves, if we can, from the chaos of the world around us, of the wickedness and the confusion and the scaredness that we see daily in the faces of our neighbours and our friends and in the media, that we may remember these words, that we are so blessed, brothers and sisters, that we may be so happy and joyful that we've been given a knowledge of these things, and that when our Lord Jesus does return, we may be ready and watching and having kept our garments and be able to be his bride, that we may enter into his kingdom and live forevermore with him. Thank you.